Good morning, everybody. We're going to jump into the Kosher and Kelim Masterclass, and we're going to be going through pretty much everything to do with Hagalah, Libun, on every different type of Kli. But not just, this isn't so much the practical shiur, although we'll get into the practical as well. But this is going to be going into the Gemaras, the opinions of the Rishonim, so we see where everything's coming from. And we're all the halachos, and all why we get machloksim and how to kasher kelim when it comes to Pesach and year-round. And we will come out practically as well. At the end, I'll give a separate shiur, which will just be like the practical points, and literally in like 45 minutes, we can go through how to kasher every single thing in your kitchen, and a practical note. But here, we're going to get into the svaras and the opinions of the Rishonim and everything like that. So we begin with where it all begins, source number one in Bamidbar, Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Chaf Aleph, that over here we have the Elazar HaKohen telling the people who are going out to the war against Midian. Vayomer Elazar HaKohen al Anshei HaTzava Boim LaMilchama. Elazar HaKohen said to the people of the war that were going out to battle against Midian, Zos Chukas HaTorah Asher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe. This is the Torah that Hashem commanded Moshe. Ach Es HaZav Ves HaKesef Ves HaNachoshes Ves HaBarzel Ves HaBedil Ves HaRfaris. Right, you're going to go out to battle, and you're going to find all these kelim that belong to Midian, which they used, right? Kesef, silver, copper, metal, lead, bedil. I don't know exactly which what type of metal that is, but these five different types of metal. If you find any of these kind of kelim, so then kol davar sher yavo ba'esh taviru ba'esh v'taher. Any kli that comes in contact with fire, meaning is used for cooking, so then you have to use esh in order to be matare. You have to use esh in order to purify it. V'kol asher lo yavo ba'esh taviru ba'mayim, and anything that doesn't come into contact, you should put in water. So whether that means either shtifa, which is like cleaning it out really well, right? Because it never came in contact with anything hot, or it means a tevila b'mikvah, right? Because you're taking their kelim, you have to do some kind of tevila and some kind of kashering process. Okay, so what we have over here is that the command in the Torah that you can't just use the kelim of a non-Jew. Rather, you have to actually do some kind of kashering process in order to kasher the kli. And the Gemara actually learns out from here. The Gemara in Chulin learns from here that we see that what happens, food that you cook into a kli, what happens is it absorbs into the kli. And we have a klal called tam ke'ikr, right? The flavor that's in the kli now spits out. It becomes like the food itself. Right, even though it's only absorbed flavor, maybe that's not actual iser. The Torah says you can't eat pig. Who said it says you can't eat pig flavor? That was absorbed in the kli. So the Gemara learns, we see from here, right? The fact that you have to kasher the kelim and you have to burn out all the absorbed flavor, that must mean tam ke'ikr, that the flavor of pig is actually like pig itself. And the Gemara derives that halacha from here. Okay, so that's why we have to kasher our kelim. Now the question is, how do you kasher kelim? So the Mishnah in Avodah Zarah, Daf, Ayin, Hey, Amud Beis, Halokeach Kli Tashmish Mina Ovde Kochavim. If a person takes a kli that's used by a non-Jew, Eshadach Lahatvil Yatvil, something which they use only to dip into water, like one of those well jugs or something like that, or a water pitcher. So then, just be tovel lahagil. But if you put it in, hot water, yagil, then you have to put that into hot water in order to kasher it. Lalabin ba'or, yalabin ba'or. If you put it in dry heat, so then you gotta put it in dry heat be malavin it, make it hot, white hot. Hashvud v'hasalka, something like a spit, which was used for roasting, also malabnan. You also have to kasher it in dry heat. Be'or, hasakin, shafa v'hitahara, something like a knife. Then you stick it into the ground, and that will get out the shamnunis, the fats which are stuck on the knife. What? Yeah, 10 times or however you need to do it. Nowadays we just use a good sponge. Yeah, steel wood. It lav dafka, you even have to use steel wool pashtas when you're using soap, and it'll get off the shamnunas even with the backside of a sponge. Some people do recommend using steel wool. Maybe not necessary. Yeah.
When it starts to say achis on zohar v'sakis, I mean, there's no vessels that are made of gold. Are we also including jewelry here, or?
Achis azav v'sakesef. Yeah. So I don't, or maybe gold rimmed kalim, like the really fancy stuff.
Yeah, that would be crazy, but what about like a jewelry ward? I mean, there's no requirements there to do anything with jewelry because it was ward. We're only talking about items used for eating, yes?
Yeah. So all these were items used for eating. So if it wasn't used for eating, they wouldn't have to kosher it. Right. Silver, but gold also, they would plate with gold, or they would use a gold alloy. So it was really mixed, but they would put in some gold or some kind of gold alloy or mixture, which is generally what the lower, right, 24 karat is pure gold. And then the lower ones are really just mixtures, like 18 karat. And then when you go lower than that, 14. And it allows it to be harder to be used for some kind of clay. So we see that you have from the mission of Avodah Zarah that you have to kasha the kli the way it was used, right? Very important yisod that we're going to need to know. Then we get into the Gemara a little bit later in Avodah Zarah, in Ayin Vav Amud Aleph, and it said, V'akama melabnan, what is the shear to do a proper libun? Amar amani achatasar klipasan, you have to be able to remove a klipa, a thin layer has to peel off from the kli. So that's how hot the kli has to get in order for there to be a proper libun, that it peels off a layer of the kli. Again, our kelim nowadays, they aren't made in the same way that theirs are, that theirs were. So our kelim, not necessarily will they peel off a layer. They say it's somewhere about 850 degrees, because we're going to see that there's another shear where it has to be that you can scorch something, meaning it'll actually light on fire. So it'll be around 850 degrees. Different kashrus organizations will say a little bit differently around that. Some say 800, 850, 900, around that range to do a proper libun. We're going to see that there's something else called libun kal. Libun kal is if you just put a tissue and it'll scorch the tissue, pretty much. It can light on fire. That's around 400, 450 degrees. So that's generally what we're going to rely on. Malabnan shetasar klipasan, where a klipa is removed, that's like really white hot. So generally we have stronger metals. That's why even if you have a self-cleaning oven where it should reach the sheer libun, you might not necessarily see it get white hot because they're really strengthened. I forgot what it's called. Yeah, like the metals, like it has extra hard stuff that they mix in. So we don't have just the pure metals that they used back then. We're not using pure lead or pure copper or anything like that. We use strengthened steel and stuff like that, stainless steel. Okay. V'ketza magilin. So how do you do, so that's how you do libun. That's libun gomor, what's called libun gomor. How do you do magilin? How do you do hagala? Hagala is boiling water. Amar Rav Huna, says Rav Huna, yora katana betoch yora gedola. What you do is you take a small pot, and you put it inside a much bigger pot. And basically in that bigger pot, you're going to be boiling water. You put the small pot in the bigger pot. Same will go with any silverware, any spatulas or anything like that you want to kosher. You take the small one and you put it in the bigger one. And then Omar Rava says, Rava man chachem lemevad ki hai milsa. The Gemara then asks, we'll see the Gemara a little bit more in detail later on. But the Gemara then asks, what if you have a pot that's too big to fit into another pot? How do you do it in such a situation? So there you can do a self-contained koshering where in the pot itself, you're going to boil the water. The problem is that the water is never going to reach the rim of the pot, right? Because you can never, right? Let's say you fill it up. You're going to fill it up 90%. That extra 10% on the pot, on the top, isn't going to reach the rim of the pot. So how do you kasher the rim of the pot? So Rava has this whole clever way of doing it, which we'll see in a little bit. But Amar Rava, Man Chacham, Akavya has a whole clever way of doing it. And then Rava said about Akavya, Amar Rava, Man Chacham Lamevar Ki Hai Milsa. Who is smart to do like this? Ilav Rava Kavya de Gavra Rabahu. If not for Rabba Kavya, we see what a Gavra Rabba, what a great man he is. Kesavar, because he holds Kibolo Kach Polto, the same way that the tam gets absorbed, the flavor gets absorbed in the kli, Kach Polto, that's how it has to be spit out of the kli. Ma bolo benitotos, just like it's getting through bubbling of the hot water in the pot. Af polto benitotos, so too it can be spit out with the bubbling of the pot at the top of the rim. So we come out with a major yesod of a kavya over here, which is kibolo ka polto. Many kashrus organizations will use this as a kula, right? That you, for instance, an oven, when you're kashering it, will say you just have to put it on the maximum temperature, even if you can't do a libum gomor, maximum temperature for an hour. And we assume, kibolo kach polto, same way it went in, so too it came out. And many other kelim as well, like when it comes to maybe kashering an espresso machine. Right, so just run it on the maximum temperature for as long as for a while to get it out the same way it came in. Same with chocolate factories, that's how they kosher it. They do a run of chocolate because they don't want to mix in water to do a proper hagala, because the water gets into all the pipes and gaskets, and even a tiny bit of water will ruin the emulsification and the cocoa butter, etc. And it'll mess up your chocolate. So what they do is they run on chocolate, and we'll have to see if that works. Can you do a run with using chocolate to kosher the blias, the tam that got in through non-kosher chocolate, or chocolate that uses soy, which is kitnius, or something like that. Okay, lecithin is the non-kosher lepesach ingredient that many chocolates use. That's why we pay $5 for our Swiss Schmerling chocolate, because they don't use lecithin. all right. So Paskins the Shulchan Aruch. So we came out with this major yisod, kibolo kach polto. Now Paskins the Shulchan Aruch in tough nun aleph seif hey kelim shenishtamish ba mechamim kifi tashmishan hersherim. Any utensil which you cooked hot in, the same way you use it, that's the way you have to kasher it. Im tashmishim bekli rishon, if you used it as a kli rishon, kigon kaf, like a spoon, shemagisim bo esta kadera, which you use to mix up a kadera, a pot of cooking food, tzarech lashirim bekli rishon. So since you used it as a kli in a kli rishon, you have to be machsher it. You have to kasher it in a kli rishon. V'im tashmishim b'kli sheni, hachsherim b'kli sheni. If you use it in a kli sheni, right, once the food was removed already from the fire, so now you have to kasher it in a kli sheni. V'kli shetashmishim bo b'iroi. Let's say you poured hot water on a kli, which is going to be the case of the majority case of our countertops. Right, the issue is either iroi, that's something spilled from a pot, or it can be kli sheni, you've already removed it, we'll have to get into that it could be a davar gush as well, which according to some rishonim and the Ramaz Machmer, it can retain its status as a kli rishon, and that's really what we're going to be nervous about when it comes to countertops.
These psukim just in the beginning, are they talking about kashrut? Pashtus, or are they talking about Tumantara?
Kashering.
Yeah?
Yeah, so we say that they're talking about kashering. And then the last one, yep, Rashi over here, there's a machlokas between the Rishonim, exactly what V'chol asher lo yavo ba'esh taviru ba'mayim means. Anything that doesn't come in contact with fire, what it means, you have to wash it. Is there an actual chiyuv of shtifa, like cleaning out the kli? Or is it just referring to tevila, that you have to tovel it because it belongs to a non-Jew. So now that you acquired it, you have to tovel it. But there's no actual mitzvah, there's no actual command to clean it. It's
but
just something that's.
Tovel kelim is not like what we do. That's not derisive, is it?
Could be. Yeah. Tevelin Keva could be derisa, it depends. Something like glass is derabanan. Something that's metal is derisa. So, anything that can really be melted down and restructured, really metal kalim are derisa. And then glass, they were gozer because also it has the quality of metal that it can also be melted down and restructured. Okay. So. Okay, so we have over here the major yisod, kibolo kach poto, shulchan aruch is paskening. If it comes in contact with the kli rishon, you got a kasher with the kli rishon. Comes in contact with the kli sheni, that's how the treif got in. So now you got to kasher it with kli sheni. If it's iri kli rishon, iri kli rishon. Right? However the treif got in is how we're going to have to kasher the kli. Right? Major yisod that we're having over here. And this we're really going to need to know for basically every form of kashering kalem. We're going to have to look at how the treif got in, or how the chametz got in, or how the milk slash meat got in, and that's how we're going to have to remove the absorbed flavor from the kli.
Doesn't have to go to one level higher than the way it got in?
Same level. Yes, and so not one level higher. That's what the Shulchan Aruch is paskening over here. Just the same level that it got in, kli rishon, kasher with kli rishon, kli sheni, kli sheni. Okay.
Surely as a minimum. A kli sheni would be able to be kashered the same way as a kli rishon, presumably.
Yes.
As well.
So if you do use a higher standard, so then that would work as well. Okay. And this is ukli shemishtamshim bo beiroi, the end of the Shulchan Aruch over here, on source number 4. Kli that you used with iroi, shema'arem kli rishon, you used the iroi kli rishon. Lo sagi le behechsher de kli sheni, you can't use hechsher as a kli sheni. Can't use a kli sheni to kasher that up because that was iri kli rishon, and he's paskening that it's a machlokas whether iri kli rishon has the status already of a kli sheni or has the status still of a kli rishon. So he's paskening that we have to be machmer like the opinions that it still has the status of a kli rishon. Elatzarech la'aros alav mikli rishon. You're gonna have to pour from it from a kli rishon. And not to get even more complex over here, but there also might be a difference between iri kli rishon shenifsa kakiluach and shelo nifsa kakiluach. Once the stream is kind of stopped, right, and you have that that stream of water that's removed from the kli rishon pot, versus that it's continuous from the kli rishon pot, it might even have a higher level, and that's why. People who are mekel to just do iri kli rishon on their countertops, they should at least make sure that it's lo nifsa kakeluach, that it's a continuous stream that's going and not that you're doing kind of little spurts around. You should keep a continuous stream going along your countertop. What's that?
Like a vacuum cleaner.
Yeah, kind of like a, like that vacuum cleaner motion. Okay. We're going to have to practice our koshering skills over here. Alright, so what about, so we come out that whoever used the kli is how you're going to need to kosher it. What if it's a mix, right? Some your countertops. Sometimes it's going to be kli sheni. Usually, generally it's going to be kli sheni, right? You had your hot mushroom, cheese, parmesan, I don't know, whatever it is, that fell out of your pan, right? You were just cooking in it. That's kli rishon. Once the mushroom falls out, hits her countertop, so now it's going to be pashtus a kli sheni, right? Unless it's a dove or gush, unless it's a very solid object that retains a lot of its heat inside, that's going to be a machlokes, whether that still retains the status of a kli rishon or it's a kli sheni. Generally, the Shulchan Aruch is mekel, Rama is machmer, that we should treat it as a dove or gush, as a kli rishon. So generally, your countertops are going to be coming in contact with kli sheni type stuff. It is possible that you can get kli rishon though, iri kli rishon, right? Let's say you spilled from, you had a hot soup, carrying it over your countertop, and some of it spilled out, right? Some of it poured out, so that hot soup now can be kli rishon. Iri kli rishon, the way that it hit your countertop. So do you go after the general use of how the treif or chametz flavor got in, or do you go after the most chomer use? That's machlokas rishonim. We have the opinion of the Ran. The Ran says that you go after the majority. So we go after, and he proves this from the Gemara. The Gemara says, eshedarko lahatvil yatvil, lahagil yagil. Right? If it's the derech to be zovel, so then you have to do tvila. If it's the derech to do agala, so then you have to kasher it with agala.
How does it help you for the higher one?
What's that?
How does it help you for, so let's say you traced it up with Iruin Kli Rishon.
Yeah.
You're kashering with Kli Shani.
So he says, because the majority of times I came in for the Kli Shani, so this is why the other Rishonim don't like it. Because Lamaisa, you have Iroi Kli Rishon that got into your countertop. So how are you gonna spit that out with using a Kli Shani type of hechsher? So that's why the other Rishonim argue, and they say, what do you mean? To get out the Iroi Kli Rishon of it, you gotta get it out with Kli Rishon. What does that mean that you go after the Rov? Tashmish. I don't know the answer of how the Rishonim will defend themselves, like the Ran. But it seems pretty mivor, right? It says Eshadarko, if that's the Derech. So it seems like we go after the Derech. The majority of use cases for that countertop or for that Kli, whatever you're using, that's the way you have to tovel it. And then we have the Hagoy Sashri who argues that no, you go after the most chomer use. How does the Shulchan Aruch Paskin? The Shulchan Aruch Paskins, that this is in footnote number 1 on page 2. He says, Hochim bo achar rov tashmisho. We go after rov tashmisho, after the majority of use. Hilka ke'aras, afa pisha lefame mishtam shebam bekli rishon, ala eish, even though you might use it, kli rishon ala eish, kevishir rov tashmishin hum be'iroi. Most of the time it's going to just be iroi, shema ara aleh mekli rishon, kachu echsherin. So the Shulchan Aruch is mekel, like the Ran, you go after the majority of uses. And that's why it's going to be easier for Sfardim to kosher things like countertops, right? Because they can say that majority of the times the countertop is coming in contact with a Kli Sheni, therefore it's enough to kosher it with a Kli Sheni, or for sure Iroi Kli Rishon would be enough to kosher your countertops. You don't have to use something like an Evan Milubin, which we'll get into in the next section.
If you take a Kli Rishon off the fire, it's still Kli Rishon?
Yeah, it's a Kli Rishon Shalo Ala Ish at this point. Yeah. So it still has Kli Rishon status. But when you put that on your countertop, right, you take off that Kli Rishon, put it on your countertop, it's not going to trafe up your countertop. Right? Let's say that's Milchig, and then you want to put on Fleishig after. So it's not going to, or a Chometz, right? A Chometz hot Kli on a Kli Rishon that you put on your countertop, the flavor from the pot isn't going to transfer into another Kli. Because we have a yesod principle that flavor can't transfer mikli lakli bli rotef without any kind of liquid medium. So you would need a full puddle of water on the countertop in order to transfer the flavor from the hot kli rishon into your countertop, which generally isn't the case. Right? Even if you have like little driplets of water, that's not going to be enough. You need a real
chicken soup and you have moisture on the outside of the pot. Is that already like rotev, like moisture, is that enough? Or
if it's yatzel ledesbo, the little driplets aren't enough. They has to be like a real amount of liquid that's on the countertop to properly trafe it up as a Kli Rishon. And even then, yeah. Okay, I don't want to overcome it. Okay, so but the Ramah though is machmer, and the Ramah says we go after its most strict use. This is footnote number 2. V'yesh machmirim lahagel ka'aras b'kli rishon. There are those that are machmer that you should really do a kli rishon. V'chein hu aminag. This is the minag amongst the Ashkenazim, right? Probably quoting from the Maril, where they had these minhagim in Krakow and the Shum and wherever they lived in. Hungary or wherever they were. So v'chein b'chol davar sheyesh lachosh shemen ishtamish bo b'kli rishon kigon kapos u'kodom lezeh. So the Ramah is basically being machmer, like the Hagai Sashri, that a person should really go after the most chamer use, right? But the Mishnah Berurah adds that b'di eved one can be mekel, meaning the Ramah is doing this mitam chumrah, but if it's going to be in a case where it's very difficult which we'll see by countertops. It might be very difficult to use an Evan Miloban on your countertop. Some people have a little bit of plastic that's mixed into their countertop. If you have something like a quartz countertop, anything that's not marble or granite, so quartz, formica has a lot of plastic mixed into the material, whatever minerals they're using or stone that they're using. It might be 90% quartz and then ground quartz, and then 10% of some kind of plastic that they're mixing in. So then if you use something like an iron or an Evan Miloban to turn it into, to kosher it with a Kli Rishon, that might scorch the plastic or melt the plastic. It can create yellow or brown marks. So some poskim are going to say that over here you have the Mishnah Berura, that this is a bidi-evet situation, right? Really, the Ramah only says mitam chumra, that you have to go after its most chumra use. Over here by countertops, the most chumra use is going to be a davar gush. And it's already a chumra to begin with to consider a davar gush. A davar gush is a solid, like let's say a big chunk of meat, right? So there are poskim that hold that we're machmer on a davar gush to consider it like a kli rishon, right? So even though this piece of meat, right, you now plopped it on your counter and you want to cut it on your countertop, or I don't know, a big potato fell out of your chalent onto your countertop. So now really it should be a kli sheni, right? Because it was removed from the kli rishon, it was moved from the pot that it was cooked in. So really this big potato or this big piece of meat should be a kli sheni. However, since it's such a solid substance, there are poskim that say that it retains its status as a kli rishon because something that big retains the heat inside of it. It locks in the heat. So now, even though you remove that piece of meat, you remove that potato from the kli rishon, it's still going to retain its status as a kli rishon. The Ramah is machmer like this opinion to consider something like a potato or a big piece of meat. It's considered a davar gush, and therefore we might be, we're going to be choshesh, that's a davar gush might have hit your countertop, a davar gush of chametz. So chametz now can get absorbed in your countertop. Maybe we should consider it like a kli rishon, and we know that the Ramah is machmer to consider a davar gush like a kli rishon. So therefore you would have to kosher your countertops also using a kli rishon, which is going to be something hard to do. Right? How do you kosher your countertops with a kli rishon? Even if you boil up water and then you pour them along your countertop, that's only going to be iroi kli rishon. It's pouring out of a kli rishon. It's not going to be a kli rishon itself. So in order to do that, we're going to have to use something like an Evan Miloban, which we're going to see in the next section exactly what that is. But that's basically a way of koshering your countertops with a proper kli rishon in doing it in such a way. But there are those that are mekil that davar gush is already a chumra to begin with. Second of all, we have the Mishnah Berurah that says that bidiyeved one can be mekil, right? And if you don't have a way of koshering with Evan Miloban or using an iron or something like that because it's going to ruin your countertops, so then you can already be mekil to use Irei Kli Rishon and just, right, you would basically just boil one of those water kettles, get it to a rolling boil, right, on the max speed, and then you just go along your countertop like this, making sure to hit every area and to make sure that it's lo nifsa kakiluach, that it's a continuous stream, and then that's enough to kosher it, and that would basically be relying on this Mishnah Berurah. What's that?
Keep the kettle on.
Oh, that's yeah. You don't have to, but if you can, that would be even better. Because then they would both be Irei Kli Rishon, but one would be Irei Kli Rishon Me'ala Esh, and one would be Shelo Ala Esh. I've never heard of that chumra before, that you have to keep it on. It's difficult because you need some kind of extension cord,
use,
right?
Use an urn.
Yeah,
use
but
an,
it's clever.
Use an urn.
What?
You use an urn and you keep it on the whole time.
Yeah, also extension cord on the urn, it's pretty heavy moving it along.
What's the status of it? Like if you had a steamer, which steam comes out,
can
come out much hotter than even boiling water. So what can you use that to kosher?
Great question. We're going to get into that, the steamer issue. So just to touch on it, Rav Moshe holds steam. It's not really Rav Moshe. Anybody holds steam is not water. So we got into the sugya of Zeh actually when it came to oven, right? And we did, we had this whole prima god, we had this whole... I can't remember which achronon is, but that steam, the rush. The rush holds Zeya is like the food itself. And therefore, it's going to be, but not necessarily is it the same status in that you can do a hechsher through steam. Rav Moshe says you can't use steam to kasher something. It doesn't have the same status as the liquid. So these kind of steamers, they're not going to work to kasher your countertop because you need proper water to do a hagala. Steam, zeya, doesn't have the same status as water. What people rely on when they do use these steamers is the puddle of water that kind of accumulates in front of the steamer. So they kind of look like these flat tops, and you're moving the puddle of water along. If that puddle of water is reaching 212, which is boiling point, so then that can kasher your countertops, right? Because you have the actual heat of the, and then you're moving that water along, boiling it as it goes. So now that actual water will be proper Kli Rishon water that you're using to kasher your countertops. So that can potentially work. The issue is that the steamers don't retain their heat for so long. So the actual steam, basically how it works is the steamer is boiling inside and then it stops boiling, but it has a lot of steam that built up and that's what it's releasing. So the steam will drop from 212 or above, which is boiling point. Sorry, 100 Celsius. I forgot I'm talking Australians over here. Everybody's like 212, what is that? The steam will drop from 100 Celsius down to, let's say, 80. And then only once it reboils the water, then it'll go back up to 100. So the problem with these steamers is that they're constantly dropping below. Lav dafka that puddle is going to work. My father did use a steamer for a while. He had a probe on the puddle, like one of those temperature probes, and then he'd kind of push it along as he went through. Slowly. He likes using the steamer because it's a lot less messy than doing Iri Kli Rishon or something like the iron, which can potentially ruin your countertops, depending on what type of countertop you have. So you would basically have to check it with a probe, and it does, it quite often drops below 100, and then you have to wait like another 2 minutes for it to boil again, and that can be a very lengthy process. So that's why people don't use steamers generally, why the kashrus organizations don't recommend using steamers, because steam itself doesn't kosher. You're going to have to use that puddle, and then it's constantly going to be dropping below. You got to wait for it to reboil. It's going to be a very lengthy process. Most people don't have the patience and the nerdiness to sit there with the probe and kind of go along to make sure that it's actually at boiling point the whole time. All right, we'll stop here for today, and then we'll continue on tomorrow.